This is a Sports Fluent presentation of The Coach and AK Experience with hosts Hugh Jackson and Anthony K. It starts now.
All right, welcome everybody. This is the first episode of The Coach and AK Experience. I'm Anthony K. and the coach, Hugh Jackson. How you doing, coach?
I'm doing great. I'm excited about this and looking forward to our time together.
Yeah, me too. And you know what? There's so much going on that I want to jump right in because we're going to talk some football. We're going to talk some finance. We're going to talk some social awareness. So Hopefully we're going to teach the people about lots of different things. But let's start with football. So much going on so far. I thought I'd just maybe throw a couple of things at you and see what your thoughts are on it. So the first thing I want to start with, and this is the toughest one, is we've seen some coaching changes in the NFL, as we do every year. Already three coaches, a GM. And there's a few that are on the hot seat. When a team, I guess maybe walk me through two things. When a team makes a decision to move on from a coach, what is the thought process? Because rarely do you see the team just completely turn around and go on this great run. You know, they typically need time to adjust to the new coach, new system, new philosophy. Although there sometimes is an uptick right away, as we've seen kind of with the Giants, with a couple of teams this year, like Houston and Atlanta, We've seen them play better. But what is ownership's thought process? And then for the players, how much actually changes in terms of, you know, the culture in the field?
Well, I think you just said it, and I think you just nailed it. I think owners, whoever has the owner's ear, is probably talking about culture, probably talking about saving the players who have the most value, trying to get more out of them. Sometimes coaching changes ignite a fire under certain individuals. Certain coaches, it could lead to good things, but you said it more times than not, it doesn't. It really doesn't change much, but I think there's a lot of things that go into those decisions. I think sometimes some frustration goes into it. Just being very honest, I think people get angry because they thought they were getting one thing and they're getting another. And sometimes they're knee-jerk reactions too. So I think if you really evaluate them all, they all would be different. But at the end of the day, the results are the same. Somebody's going to take over a new opportunity, and there's going to be a new voice leading the group at some point in time.
Because I got to think, right? Like, I've been on teams, you've coached teams, you've played. Mm-hmm. There's certain, you know, the locker rooms, half of the team's going to like the coach, and the other half is not going to like the coach. And I think that's kind of universal. And I think the coaching change, you know, do you feel like those players that didn't like the coach, do they play better? But then, you know, you've been in this situation. What, you know, obviously it's the change of culture. And I want to take it away from the fan base, because as fans, right, the second your team starts to lose, let's fire everybody, trade everybody. But from ownership, you have to be more patient. You see the work that's going in that maybe, you know, us everyday fans don't see. Has it ever worked? Has it ever really made
there's a been a few huge impact? There's been a few occasions where the interim all of a sudden took over and he had a chance. Very seldom does he become the guy, but there's a few where, you know, maybe that was planned. You know, if a coach doesn't get off to a good start, boy, we're going to make a change here and move forward. And all of a sudden the team starts playing better, maybe because they just start gelling a little bit more, or they get to know each other better, whatever those things are. But it has pulled some teams closer together. Like I said, I don't think there's any direct strategy to this. I think it's a field thing. I think it's a field thing by ownership. I think it's a field thing by GMs. And you have to make sure you have a coach that's on your staff that can lead that too. Sometimes you make these decisions, you might not have a coach that can stand in front of the room and command the room. So you have to make the right
Is that a thing? Can you lose your locker room?
Well, I think you can. Yes. If they don't trust you, you've lost them. The two things that I think in the National Football League that would make a coach lose the locker room is losing and trust. Because at the end of the day, they're there to win. You don't win, it's hard to be a leader and stand in front of everybody and say, keep going, keep going, keep going. Yeah.
Winning helps cure all the ails, right?
You're losing, it's hard, but it's also hard to say if they feel like you've been dishonest.
Yeah. So we're gonna switch gears, although we're still gonna talk about winning and losing. And I wanna go specific on a team, because the last time we spoke, we talked about Tom Brady going to the Bucks and how Coach Arians was really gonna have to adapt, right? Because Tom Brady is the GOAT, or arguably the best to ever do it. He commands a certain amount of respect, but they've been pretty inconsistent. You know, they're ninth in passing, 26th in rushing, but they've had some really nice games. You know, some wins over, I think, the Packers, and they've turned some, you know, after that big loss against the Saints, they turned it around again. The loss of the Bears, if I didn't mention, like, it's just been inconsistent. The games that I would have thought they would have won, they didn't. And the games that you thought would be tighter, they played really well. Is that, you know, just a new system? Now I know they've had some injuries too on offense. Combination of those things?
You know. I think it's a combination of all things, but I think first and foremost, you have to put Tom in a situation where he's comfortable.
Yeah.
And this isn't his offense. This is the Tampa Bay Bucks offense. And I think if they could start all over, if they had an offseason, maybe they could have incorporated more things that are Tom Brady-like than what is more Tampa Bay-like. Because I think when people fail to understand, that's why I always say talent just doesn't fit everywhere.
Right.
Because you have to give those guys what they need to be successful. So if I'm going to bring in a Tom Brady, you can bet your bottom dollar it's going to be, what do you want to do on offense? Because I need you to be successful. It's not about the coach. It's not about the system. It's about the player. Right. So when I watch what they're doing, it's so different to me than what he's used to doing. I don't think it helps him that way. Now, do I think they're trying to adapt and do some concepts that he's used to? Yes. But was Tampa Bay going to be the Patriots offense? No doubt it wasn't going to be, but it has to be Tom Brady-centric in order for him to show his value to the organization.
Yeah, because it was one of the things that I noticed was, you know, if I was playing a video game, I'm taking Tampa Bay. The talents. Yes. And that's what a lot of people think is, you know, you throw – you know, Godwin and Evans and Gronk and, you know, Brate and, you know, before he got hurt, obviously O.J. Howard, there were just one thing after another. You just thought, oh, this offense is going to score a ton of points. But it's unfortunately not that easy, right?
Right. And when they're playing good teams, that's when it's showing itself. And it's been more of a protection issue and a route concept issue than anything else. The teams that can rush the passer has really given Tampa Bay some issues this year. And you know, but I think if people really go check and look at the history of everything, boy, I'm telling you, the quarterback's been hit in Bruce Arians' system.
And look, it's nitpicking when we're picking on Tom Brady, but historically, yes. Right, if you can get to him and pressure him, that's when he's been the least effective.
Yes.
So, you know, it makes sense, and it's interesting. I thought they would have made some changes, but you're right. I didn't even think about the lack of preseason where they didn't get to incorporate some of those things. All right, so – so now I want to move to some surprises, good and bad, good and bad. So I feel like there's some, look, when I did my preseason, I did not have Miami being this good. Washington, and now even the Giants after that win against Seattle, there's been some surprise teams. There's also been some surprises the other way. The Ravens, you know, Dallas, I think Dallas is more obviously the loss of Dak, but Zeke has looked really out of sorts without Dak. So when you look at kind of the scheme of things, what are some of the teams that you kind of surprised you, and why do you think they were able to kind of put things together when we didn't think, you know, us experts didn't think they would?
I think when you look at the NFC East, that's where the biggest surprises has been. When you think of how the teams have not played very well, what the records are with those teams in that division, everybody understands that there's been a struggle, you know, but when you watch and see what Washington is doing all of a sudden with Alex Smith, a veteran quarterback who's been through the wars, who probably needs to earn the Comeback Player of the Year award for him walking back out there and playing as well as he's played, he's put them in position to maybe possibly win that division. And then you look where the Giants started. You just said it a second ago. They were struggling, but they're a physical, well-coached, tough team, and you can see it. So it's amazing to me.
Now, by no surprise, Washington, right? Defense, Miami, defense. Because when you look at, you know, the quarterback situation in Miami, in Washington as well, but in Miami, they kind of flipped between Tua and Fitzpatrick. in Washington, I don't know about you, but that first hit that Alex Smith took, I was holding my breath, I think, with everybody else. It was so great to see him on the field. But it's, you know, there's, you're not seeing a big-time rusher. You're not seeing big-time stats, but they're just finding ways with enough offense and some solid defense to win. That still can win in the NFL, right?
It can. The fundamental football teams that are physical, that know how to continue to grow in the physical aspect of the game, those are the games that – those are the teams, I should say, that start to come on and win this time of year. So that's what you're seeing. And I think everybody's a little surprised. I'm not, because that's football. Yeah. That's really good football this time of year.
So on the downside – and I want to talk more about the Ravens, because – Lamar Jackson was the MVP last year. We expecting big things from him. And the entire Ravens offense has looked a little like, have teams just kind of figured out what they were doing? Have they figured him out? You know, he was so dynamic last year and no one could stop him. And now all of a sudden he looks human again.
Right. I think what you're saying is, I think in my mind, the Ravens miscalculated. And what I mean by that, he was so dynamic a year ago. He put so much pressure on teams, because I don't think teams truly understood, I should say, exactly what Baltimore was going to do. Mm-hmm. So everybody had to play single high against him, you know, because this guy was running so well. And so now the throws were easier. You know, you can make those throws. Now all of a sudden everybody's mixed the coverages in passing situations, and it's been a different game for him. He doesn't look the same, and I don't think they've grown at the receiver position. So he doesn't have a lot of help there. Then you couple that with everybody starts to understand the offense is really only probably five or six concepts that they run. Now teams are able to defense that a little bit more.
It always seems to be the case, right? As quickly as offenses take advantage, that's how quickly defenses can adapt. And it's ever changing. You're always having to switch things up and throwing in some wrinkles, which if you don't keep up, I guess this is what happens. And
it is. If you don't, you know, it's like, who moved my cheese? You know, you got to trying to find the next good thing, because defenses are too good and defensive players are too good. That if you just try the same old tried and true, that gets figured out in the National Football League.
Anything you're looking forward to see as we kind of come to the tail end of the season that, you know, you're really either excited to see about or we should watch for?
Oh, yeah. There's a few things. The race, as I just mentioned, in the NFC East. Watching Pittsburgh lose and watching the ascend of the Cleveland Browns. Mm-hmm. You know, can they catch them at the end? Can Kansas City stay and become a repeat team because of the quarterback and the system? People would say they haven't played as well this year. They're 11-1.
Good for not playing now. Yeah, to your
the best quarterback in the league, you know. Yep. So it's interesting how people look at things, you know. What's gonna happen with Dallas? You know, are they gonna fall off the cliff and just spit out the bit? You know, and no one knows, you know, will the Saints get Drew Brees back and they make a run, because they're a really good football team. And obviously with him, they're even a better football team, you know.
It wasn't something we were going to talk about, but because you brought up New Orleans and Drew Brees, and it made me think the ribs, you know, that many broken ribs, I think is going to be tough, right, to come back from. Are you surprised that it's been Taysom Hill and not James Winston at all for the Saints?
I'm not surprised. I'm surprised that it hasn't been any James Winston. That surprised me. For this reason, you pay Tyson Hill as the backup quarterback. Yeah. And so you need to know what you have in him, because the future is right around the corner for him. Whether this is the last year for Drew Brees or next year is the last year, you better know what you have in the organization. Now, that being said, that's also why you brought James Winston in. He is a pure pocket passer. And so, to me, he allows you to play more your style of offense than Tyson Hill does, because he's a runner. You know, he's a runner. He's a threat. But obviously, he's thrown the ball extremely well this past game, game before he struggled. You know, so somewhere in between there, that's who this guy is. But where does he fall in the other 32 quarterbacks in the National Football League? Is he 18th, 19th, 20th? Where does he fall, and is that enough for your team to win with? That's the question that they have to get answered.
Yeah, and I'm with you, because I figured they were going to play Hill. you know, they've been rushing, I think, 61% of the time, which I don't think is a surprise the way he plays. He's a phenomenal just athlete, right? You literally can line him up anywhere, offense, defense, special teams. But I thought, right, to their offense, Winston, I know he threw a lot of picks last year, but he also threw a lot of touchdowns. And to the earlier point, he was also getting hit a lot, which probably played a role in some of those interceptions, right?
Anthony, you said it. I get so disappointed in the narrative for Jameis because that's the only time he's ever played that bad.
Yeah.
He's never thrown 30-something interceptions with all these other touchdowns and over 5,000 yards. So now all of a sudden people see him as he can't play. But prior to that, he was considered one of the young up-and-coming quarterbacks. And that's why it's so amazing when you put these guys into systems with coaches, can they really get the best out of him? And so people say, well, we, you know, he threw for 5,000 yards, but he threw all these interceptions, so if we just cut the interceptions down, we're going to be fine. Well, I don't know that he wouldn't have done what Tom is doing now. Yeah, you know, I don't know that.
Listen, you know, so hindsight's 2020, yes, but I'll tell you, my hand was up screaming for my Bears to sign Winston because I knew. I said, he can throw the ball. Okay, he had Peyton Manning threw for a lot of interceptions too 1 year, right? It happens. And then the other one, if it wasn't there, I was actually really surprised he didn't go to the Patriots because this is no knock on Cam, but I thought that was a good fit with Belichick kind of coaching Winston. I thought that would have been – That would have been interesting to see.
It would have been very interesting because I said it. I mean, the one thing we know that Jameis can do is throw the football.
Yeah.
If you can get him not to turn it over as much, then everybody gets excited. But that is, you know, that's the young tiger in him that somebody has to just kind of pull down a little bit. But also, you said it, he's getting hit a lot.
Listen. As a Bears fan, you know, I saw a lot of another quarterback who used to throw the ball a lot and throw a lot of interceptions, one Brett Favre. He seemed to have a pretty good career, although he threw some bad interceptions. So that's why maybe I don't hold it against him as much as maybe I should.
Sure.
So with that, we're going to shift gears a little bit.
Okay.
So I've dubbed this Jackson Financial. Hope you don't mind. But you're obviously very into kind of the financial aspect of the world. It's important for everyone. I don't know if you give advice to players, but I know there's a lot of players that could probably use some advice. And for the first episode, I thought it'd be a good idea if you could share, for those that haven't gotten into investing or, you know, been scared to jump into that world, what are some of the tips that you would give people to start? Like, how do you get started and what do they need to know?
I think, first of all, everybody needs to educate themselves. I think education is first and foremost, and I think that's what we don't do enough of when it comes to finances. I think everybody's got to understand the 8 streams of income. Everybody, for the most part, understands earned income. You know, this is your check for working. This is what I get. I think everybody understands that. But does people understand profit income? It's income from buying and selling things, and then interest income. And I bet you people would say, oh, I understand what that interest income is because I leave my money in the bank, I get a little interest, you know, and it does. Interest comes from lending money. You put your money in, they give you a little interest on your money. Royalty income, okay? Really understanding income from things using your idea, you know, that just keeps coming back to you. Dividend income, when people think of dividend income, it's kind of from owning stocks. And I think people understand that. Rental income, we all understand because most people, you know, pay rent to a particular homeowner. So rental income, just understanding all these streams are so important. Capital gains income, okay? And people, assets that are increasing in value, okay? And then residual income, which we all hope to have, which when you're sleeping, you're making money because you put yourself in a situation where this money is gonna be reoccurring all the time. And you have to figure out where to play at in these particular streams of income, that's gonna help you better yourself. And I think if people would first start there and try to understand the 8 streams of income and then ask yourself, how many streams of income am I playing in? Some people might be just one. It might just be the earned income because they don't understand the others.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I like the residual one. I like that one. I can sleep and make money. I'm in on that. We need to talk more about that one.
Yeah, and I think it's so important that people understand you're not really making money if your money is not making babies. And right. I say that, nice. You know, what that means, your money, if you just put it in the bank and think it's going to grow, it's not growing. It's going to be coming out. You're going to be spending it the way it goes. You need to invest your money wisely. And I would tell anybody, make sure you talk to somebody who has good experience in investing. And you need to invest your money wisely, because your money needs to bring you back a residual. And if you can do that over time, then you can take the residual and stack it and make more. Or you take your principal and you make more. But people have to understand how to do that. And I think that's what's important. So one thing that I know I do that I will share with everybody, I'm an investor in Bitcoin. I've gotten into the Bitcoin space with the Voyager app because it pays you interest on the coins. Mm-hmm. So USDC in Voyager is just like having somewhat of a bank account. Now, no, they don't. When they say they give you 8.5%, it's not 8.5% USDA. It's 8.5% on the coin.
Right.
But it's much more than what you would get at the bank.
Right.
It's not even close. So at the bank, I mean, it's not even, I think it's 0.11% right now.
Yeah, I think I got 7 cents last year. Yes. I did well.
So it's amazing. And I think that's what people got to understand. And I think people get afraid to play in some of these other spaces because they don't understand it. I was that way too. It took me till I was 50 years old to understand my money just sitting in the bank wasn't making any money. So then I thought I was going to get really aggressive and went and got a money market account to get just a little bit more interest. And now those interest rates are so low. So where do you go to have your money grow? And I think that's what everybody's got to start to understand.
Now, as we do this every week, we're going to dive deeper into some of these. But mm-hmm. of the eight streams, if you had to pick one that you feel is either people have the least knowledge on or is maybe the least utilized, if you had to pick one, which is the one you think is, this is the one you, not a lot of people know about or know enough about?
The one I think people don't know enough about is the capital gains income. And I say that because it's your assets increasing in value. And so people normally have an asset and then they feel like it's up a little bit, they sell it right away instead of holding on to it, understanding the capital gains that come with it. Because they say, well, you know, here I got a chance to make $25,000 to $30,000 here, but a year from now you might have a chance to make $125,000.
Right.
You know? And so it's just understanding the capital gains and what potentially those could be is so important for investors to know.
Okay, that's fantastic. And like I said, every week we're going to go a little bit deeper, but that's it's a good start because it's complicated and there's a lot of pieces that, you know, a lot of people don't know. So
I would just think if people would take, you know, 30 minutes out of their day, and because you can Google all this stuff, and just Google these things and start to learn, start to educate yourself little by little on financial literacy, I think everybody would grow. And if you don't understand it, get to somebody who can explain it to you so that you better understand it, because it's going to be the key to your future.
Yeah. And you're right. There's a lot of resources out there. Mm-hmm. The tough part is weeding through some of those things, seeing which one you can trust and you can't, but you're right. You can find someone that can help you. Would you recommend for those kind of just starting out, they have some, you know, there's some apps and those types of things that'll help you invest on your own. Do you think that's a good strategy to start with, or is it better to get some help with a professional first, learn a little bit before you kind of dive into it by yourself?
Learn a little bit before you dive into it, because the app will take all the learning out.
Right.
You know, once you start to do that, it's like anything, we start counting on that app to give us the answer as opposed to truly understanding the answer. I would think everybody wants to take a deep dive first themselves and then jump into the app space.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's been the same thing with the calculator. I used to be able to do math without it. And now I cannot. So
now we'll do it.
Yeah. All right. So now we're going to shift to the last part. So this is, we're going to take it home here. And this is something that every week, like I said, I think it's really important. I don't think there's anything more important really. Even, you know, we talk about football and we talk about finance and those things of course are important, but I think, you know, what excited me most about us doing this every week was the social awareness part. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to tie it into the football piece as well. So, and I wanted to go back to, I'm going to call it the beginning. It's not really the beginning, but the beginning of, I guess, when we started to see some of the NFL's eyes started opening. And when, and this wasn't the first time that Cap took a knee, Colin Kaepernick, for those of you that don't know, it wasn't the first time he took a knee during the anthem, but once it first got publicized, he'd already done it a couple of times. What was kind of the reaction of players and coaches? You know, we've seen what's happened since, but what was it in those days? What were you hearing? You know, and take us through, because what happened was he did it for a very good reason and a great cause, and then they changed the narrative, right? And take me kind of through what you were seeing and hearing then.
What I was seeing and hearing then about the Colin Kaepernick situation was, here was a young man, and I don't think the football side, I'm talking about coaches, executives, owners, understood what he was really trying to do. I think the players did, because they were having meetings over the phone that I don't think a lot of people knew they were having. And he was really trying to get them to understand why he was doing what he was doing, which I thought was outstanding, because if it wasn't, a lot of players wouldn't have taken a knee with him.
Right.
They took the knee because obviously he was standing for police brutality that was against, you know, unarmed Black people. And he wanted to point it out. And that message was starting to flow. But then all of a sudden, people thought it was really about the anthem.
Right.
The flag,
and the troops, yeah. Right? They changed that narrative on it. Absolutely. And listen, I maybe I'm a pessimist here, but I think they did it deliberately to make him to be the villain, because that's not what he was doing it for.
But it shows you how strong the media is.
Yeah.
Because they flipped it and flipped it to that. And it made him look very bad. Okay. And he still stood for what he stood for. People didn't really understand what Colin Kaepernick was saying until George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, right, and Ahmaud Arbery. That all of a sudden started opening everybody's eyes, and then you seeing what happened then. Then the National Football League's narrative changed.
Right.
You know, so it's a shame that those things have to happen, but I hate to say it. In order for some time for there to be change, someone has to jump on the grenade.
Right.
In order for change to happen, and that's what he did.
He did, and you know, and good on him. And I think everyone appreciates it, because now we look back and we think, you know what? We were wrong, right? For those that didn't understand why he was kneeling, and he gave up a good career. Like, I think we forget, again, part of that narrative when they changed it to be about the flag in the military, which it wasn't about, was also you started hearing, oh, he's not a great quarterback. Well, hold on. He led his team to the Super Bowl. He was pretty good before he took a knee. So I don't know how much he may have changed now. It's been, you know, years since he's played. And I think that's part of the reason I wanted to kind of start there, because, you know, I didn't know, like, as you mentioned, about the conversations that players were having. We know that the owners and executives didn't understand, you know, right, and I'm not picking on him. I know he's come out and apologized, but like Drew Brees even, right, until this year, did he go, oh, okay, right, I didn't get it. And I've heard a lot of the, I didn't get it, which is good, right? Because if you understand that you didn't get it, that means that maybe you're starting to get it.
Right, and we have those conversations. But what disappoints me is, like, still today, the optics look right, but there's really never any change. You know, it's amazing to me, and I can say this, in the NBA, they kept the message up front and crystal clear. The National Football League, I have not seen that. I'm just being honest. And so somewhere we've lost the chance to make it better, because the one sport that is so, you know, in everybody's eyes right now, we're not talking about this anymore, you know. And but if you watch what the NBA did, I mean, it was on the floor, it was on the church,
it was everywhere. Yeah, for
it
sure
was everywhere. And so now it's not, and I'm not calling the National Football League out or anything like that, but you can't say one minute you're supporting and then the next minute you're doing nothing. You know, it doesn't work. You know, it's either you're in or you're not.
Yeah.
And so I think we can do better.
It's something that constant, and I hate to say it, because for those that fight it, it is something, you know, they'll say, well, why are you always throwing it in my face? Well, if it's not in your face all the time, we've seen it, right? It happened this year with, you know, Breonna Taylor and George Floyd. It happened 4 years ago. It happened. Mm-hmm. It seems like there's this cycle where it comes to the forefront and then it dies down again. It comes up again. And that's why there hasn't been enough change, right? Because all the people need to see it all the time for them to, you know, those conversations, like these conversations are tough. You're right. I'm having this conversation with you and I agree with you. And I'm a little uncomfortable, right? I'm like, I'm a white guy saying this, but it's important that it's in the forefront all the time, or else it's not going to change, right? I can tell you, it's like anything else. We talk about it, and it's the news cycle. Once it dies, how many stories? Not every story have we forgotten about, you know, just because of that news cycle. So, it definitely needs to be at the forefront. And you're right, the NFL said all the right things at the beginning of the season, and I'm not picking on the NFL either. I love the NFL, but and Cap's still fighting the good fight. We commend him for that. Do you think he ever gets another shot in the NFL?
I don't see it because I think it would have needed to happen. I thought this year was probably the last window. I think it's hard to be away for 3, 4, 5 years, you know, and then come back and play at a high level.
Right.
Haven't seen anybody ever do it. So not that long, but I think if you're going to do it, because this is the toughest position to play in all sports, is quarterback. And I think you have to be in it. You have to work through it, all those things. So I think it's probably beyond him now. And again, I can't be the judge of that. Only his God can, you know, and give him the strength and the ability to do so. But just me, one man's opinion, just looking at it, I think he's been away a while. And I just think it wouldn't work.
Yeah. Well, that's the first episode of the Coach and AK Experience. Join us every week for football, finance, social awareness. Coach, any parting words before we let you go?
Well, I would say to everybody, I hope they enjoyed our first show. We're only going to get better and bigger as we go. And I hope everybody stays safe in this pandemic, because it is real.
Good point. Thanks, Coach.
Get the full Sports Fluent experience at sportsfluent.com. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at sports_fluent. You can search us on YouTube at sportsfluent, and don't forget to subscribe. Or if you're looking for some great merchandise or to support the podcast, visit sportsfluent.com/merchandise.